Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon.
We're on with Peter in Georgia, and our good friend, the technician, the producer, Jay Rumble. Happy birthday, Jay Rumble.
Oh, thank you very much, Scott, and so great to be here with you and Peter for another
happy birthday, Jay. It's great to be here with you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to celebrate my birthday here and sharing the burden.
And superb. Hopefully this is the year you get your kidney transplant.
I hope so, too. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Before you know it, we'll be celebrating 86.
And that's, yes.
Two times what Jay is today. So
yeah.
So we're working on that, and I know that's going to happen one way or another. So, Peter.
Hi.
We have another guest coming. This is Scott, your old buddy from
Hi, Scott.
The Hills, the Ozarks.
Oh, right on.
Anyway, Peter, since the last time we've seen you, that's about a week, I think, has anything happened other than snow and cold? And
Well, Scott, I'm kind of disappointed. I've been locked out of the jail ministry.
Last night?
Yeah. Oh, no, not last night. Oh, I don't know.
Well, actually, last night we weren't locked out, but we couldn't get there.
Yeah. Okay, so, just strike that from the record. Okay. Last week, I think.
Strike that last comment, folks. Cannot be used against
last
Peter.
Week, we went over and we got there and we were locked out. Anyway, yeah, it's all good.
So all's good? Good.
Yeah.
Good. And what are you going to do for Jason's birthday? Because
I think maybe, I don't know.
Well, you were talking about a kidney.
A kidney, yeah.
Or you could sing a song or something, Yeah.
Jason, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I would give you a kidney, but I've had nephritis, so my kidneys aren't in good condition.
Oh, yeah, that's probably... Yeah,
do you hear that a lot?
That'll cross you off the list, I think. Yeah. No, I need a healthy kidney.
Yeah.
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 Well, Peter's, he's got a couple of years, I'm sure. Not to live, folks. Anyway, we need to get back on topic here. Our main guest is likely fighting her way to the studio here from downtown Toronto. So I have a feeling that she'll get here, but I'm just not sure when. And we've not been able to check our communication devices since we got here through the snow in about 4 minutes ago. Anyway. Anyway, we're here to talk about one of our favorite topics, which is our phase 11, which is about getting connected to something greater than ourselves and having a conscious connection with that and an ongoing connection. You know how it is. If you don't befriend and build a relationship, it never goes anywhere. Well, we believe it's the same with your spiritual relationships, and maybe even more important. At least that's what I believe. So when we think of, getting conscious contact with a higher power, with a God, it's a lot of way people do that. Some pray, some meditate, some do a combination of those things. Some just believe that they're indwelt by a God and that everything's going to be all right. Peter, when you think of that, and I know you're a Christian man, we go to the same church and so on, but when you think of that connection, other than what we normally do, our programs, our church and so on, do you do any more? Do you do some praying on the side, or do you sort of stay in touch in your own way? I know you went wayward for most of your life, but you seem to be back on track.
Yeah, I still am, Scott. I'm a real righteous rocker.
Are you? Well, tell us a little bit about your story.
Hi, Georgia.
And then we'll get our favorite girl, Georgia's just arrived, folks, and we'll talk about her as she
Jason's
gets...
Jason's birthday, Georgia.
I was going to say as she gets undressed, but takes her coat off, so let's get that straight here now. So listen, Peter, so how do you connect? Do you connect on a daily basis with your higher power, with your God, or whatever you determine that to be?
Yeah. I pray. I read the Bible. I do the Sharing the Burden 12 Steps, the Bible and the devotional.
Excellent.
And
so you start your day with that quite often, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, now if you don't do that, do you notice any difference?
Yeah. It's it's always better when I do.
Okay, well, like I'll tell you why. It's significant for me, because if I don't, I keep wondering during the day, like, what's wrong there? Why have I not been able to, you know, get going on this and so on? And
you have to pray first thing in the morning and acknowledge God and just pray. Like, well, my dad had a saying he used to say every morning, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein." So if you can just get up thanking God that you're alive another day, you're off to a good start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's funny. I remember hearing in a 12-step meeting many years ago, somebody said exactly that. And they said their day comprised of getting up, being thankful for waking up, and the end of the day was thank you for whatever went on and transpired. And I hope I have another day tomorrow. So that's profound. You guys are going to have to share a mic, I think. How are we doing over there? We got two?
This one's not working.
Is that one working?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You seeing the lights where we need to, Jay?
Keep on talking.
testing, 1, 2, 3.
Hold on, we're coming.
I can jump in with the whole starting your day with God topic
yeah.
If you want.
Okay, just a sec and we'll be right with you. Meanwhile, let's see how that goes. Georgia, you...
How am I sounding now?
You made it.
Made it.
Yeah, let's hear you talk, but yeah. No, you will. You will in a sec. I think we're okay now.
Yeah.
How did you make it? I know you made it, and you're really quite close to, even earlier than I thought you'd be able to. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
So not to worry, for one thing. So okay. you, if you're stressed out, relax. And
no, you know what? I just found like I smoked for a long time, so the cold air... like hurts my lungs right now. So
oh, okay.
I was rushing outside to get here, right? Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, okay. So
yeah.
Relax, because we haven't doctored for quite some time, Peter and I, and Jay is just in his apprenticeship, or whatever you call that, when the doctors are learning how to be on time. But anyway, so how did you deal with not the problems this morning, but you know, when you got up and looked and, you know, I guess you heard about all this snow and everything, how did you figure you'd ever get here on time?
I'm from Barrie, so I'm used to snow, right? And the bus, it should have been here 10 minutes before, so it was still late, but yeah. Gave myself a little window to get here, right?
Perfect. Yeah. Where did the bus stop, just out of curiosity?
Across the street.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
right, fine.
Actually right up at the light.
Okay.
Like the top of the hill.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and good. Right from Union to here. So.
Well, that's a good thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're talking about, our usual life recovery devotional, just to kind of get us off the ground there. I believe you have a sheet in front of you someplace there, and that'll give you a sort of an idea of what's going on, but I can kind of frame it for you. You know, it's called Love is Waiting, and we're talking about the 11th phase, we call it, in Sharing the Burden, which is all about... a prayer and meditation, and so that we can improve a contact of sorts, you know, with our God, you know, and that's what I was asking Peter, you know, what he does special in that context, because many people just go with the fact that, I'm either a Christian or, whatever I am, and God's inside me and everything's okay. Well, I thought that way for a long time, and my dad used to say, well, he didn't have to go to any kind of gatherings or institutions or churches or anything like that, because he and God had this direct line, you know. And it was funny because he said it in a serious way, although, you know, he was probably loaded at the time and said these sorts of things all the time. And I thought, well, but I took it on and I wasn't even loaded. not yet, anyway. And pretty amazingly, though, that worked in a sense for a long time until I realized I needed people. And I don't know whether that stands or holds in your life, But I need this gathering together, whether it's a fellowship, whether it's a church, whether it's here in the radio station. I need people, and I know it today, you know. And I daren't try and become the lone wolf again, because now I might not survive.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And like going to meetings is what got me my feet on the ground in sobriety. And I started to trick myself into thinking that, okay, now that I have God in my life, are the meetings and the socializing really necessary? But I heard a woman share about that on Sunday, saying like she drifted away from her community, mm-hmm. and then ended up back where she started. So wow. It's the liar in me telling me that I don't need people, yeah. when in reality, that's who God speaks to us through, right? Yeah. Is through others. So I find it really necessary to stay connected, for sure.
Yeah.
And other people can check you, you know, like if you're, I don't know, if just you're fading or falling away in certain aspects, you can't see it yourself, but other people around you will give you a heads up, right?
So you, well, if you have, you know, people who you're accountable to, I guess, like
yeah.
that seems to be, you know, I still avoid those that I might be accountable to sometimes, just out of habit, because I don't always want to face the things that are bugging me. You know, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. So
yeah.
certain people I know pick up almost everything. So I kind of shy from them when I'm, you know, for lack of a better explanation, being a bad boy.
Yeah.
sort of thing. Let me tell you, the everything's built around love on this reading here that we're talking about. And you know, I wrote a couple of questions down. I'm going to look at them here and tell you the ones that meant the most to me this morning was, where are we going? Yeah, here we go. You know, does love start by making the decision to love? You know, and remember, too, that faith, hope, and charity became called faith, hope, and love. So, the doing part of love, I believe, is this charitable side of things, you know, being a good person, doing the right thing, etc., etc. However, in our faith, that's not the way to really get connected. But I think we have to make that decision to love people, you know, whether that comes from scripture or not. It does, but it doesn't really matter. I think if we don't do that, we're going to end up alone anyway, because people won't like us, and you know, they'll be doing things for us, but we won't be doing things for them. You know, it's kind of a natural, but yet, you know, how does it start for each of us? You know, were we brought up that way? Are we made that way naturally, or do we have to work on it? You know, I'll be honest, I had to work on it. So, what do you guys think? What about you, Georgia? You got a sense of that? Were you brought up to be a good, nice, you know?
Yeah, I was brought up that way, to be genuine and kind and giving and loving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found that in high school, that was a weakness. So I worked pretty hard at hiding that aspect of myself, which, yeah, made me a very lonely individual surrounded by other like-minded individuals. In the last year, I've removed those layers of protection, I guess, of like false identity. And I've realized that the only thing that you can do is love, and love fearlessly and openly. And it starts from within. Like, you have to find a love for yourself,
mm-hmm.
before you can love other people. But again, being in a community of other people, like if you don't have that for yourself quite yet, like other people can give it to you and mm-hmm. start to grow it. Which is what happened with me when I found my tribe, right?
Your tribe, I like
my
that.
Tribe, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. How do you get in there? No, don't tell me. Yeah. So how are you doing? Let's get a little bit of an update on your...
Today is 11 months sober.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, which is really great. I'm involved in like in my meetings. And yeah, just kind of haven't really accomplished very much yet, but I feel whole, I feel happy, mm-hmm. I feel satisfied, and have a relationship with God now. I went to a event on the weekend called Renew Toronto, which was youth in the Catholic and Christian churches.
Oh, okay.
So it was 18 to 40, and it was a day event, and it was a really nice experience to have. So just getting more involved in communities that I normally wouldn't have been a part in, and making new friends with like minds. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did that take place?
It was at the Isabel Batter Theater.
Okay.
Yeah, and then at St. Basil's Church for adoration at the end.
I heard something about it, but then I didn't hear any more. Those kinds of ideas, I like that age spread, 18 to 40, because, well, even younger, but 18 to 40 is, you know, the age we run into mostly in trouble, you know, and if they're not out of it by 40, it's time to really take a serious look as to whether you're ever going to get out of it or not, you know.
And, yeah.
You're going to die not trying, or you're going to die trying, or you're just going to try anyway, you know. And but I think a lot of this stuff really does start with decisions, and on the side of being good, you know, doing the right thing at the right time and so on, I think it starts with either a reaching out, you know, first of all, maybe receiving the love that's out there, whether it's from your God or from other people around you. You know, I think it's always there, but for some reason, for a time in our lives, we don't seem to receive it. You know, it's as though, I don't know whether it's we innately at that time don't want it, or whether we just can't seem to see it. You know, I think it's always there. So, you know, even Scripture says, Lord says, here I stand at the door, you know, and, you know, you got to open it, though, you know, even though you could blow it down, I suppose. But anyway, you know how it goes. Either that or you reach out to others. And somebody said recently that if all else fails, you know, to make you well, reach out and help somebody else. And I think sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. But you probably see opportunity for some of that when you're with a bunch of people, probably at different levels of sobriety or recovery and so on. Do you find you know, you grow off of each other, sort of, or is that?
Well, yeah, that's the whole point, right? Yeah. It's to hear somebody else's experience and feel part of instead of different than, and you share your experience, and it helps other people grow. And I've been using Facebook as a social platform to share my experience fearlessly. At first, I was a little bit worried about it, but it's actually brought people to me that I wouldn't have normally had contact with in such a in-depth way. So a couple people have reached out, and then I've been invited to like those gatherings. So it's it's really important to share. Yeah. And then people come and ask you for help, and all you can do is be honest about your experience and what's helped you. And
Well, what about sponsorship in where you're at? Are you, do you have a sponsor?
Yeah, I have a sponsor. Okay. I'm halfway done step four.
Oh, good.
So the real work begins, right?
Yeah.
And then I would love to sponsor people when I'm through the program, like when I get through the steps. Yeah. For sure. I feel like it's a calling almost, you know?
Perfect. You know, it's some people in the program believe that we can start that anytime.
Okay.
You know, some believe that. I mean, I do, because I think, well, the way the 12 steps got started, you know, fellas would come in, and in the early days, it, you know, nobody knew women could be alcoholic or any of that kind of thing.
Right.
So it was like 100 men, and they would come in, and the only way they could help each other in a lot of cases was to, you know, to almost do everything for them, because, you know, the guy ends up in the street or in a hospital, pretty shaky, and so on, and really can't do much for himself. But almost immediately he'll have a meeting or two, and they'll say, well, you need to go back to, you know, almost like wherever we found you, sort of thing, and get someone else, and you know, explain how you're excited about what you're doing, and bring them back here. And that's the way it started. And you know, we learned in a hurry that not only did they have to bring them back, which was usually two people bringing one back, they would you know, they would rely on their sense of a godly or a spiritual, whatever it was, to make up the fourth part. So there'd be two going to one, plus the higher power. So it really took four, you know, in the beginning. And I don't think a lot of people don't see it that way, but I think we have to, because one-on-one still works, and it works well for sharing. But it seems that the second one, it's like going to a meeting and not being able to find anybody you can identify with it. Okay. Or going to a jail like we do. If you're not with somebody, it loses something. You know, I mean, I've done a lot on my own, and a lot with people like Peter, his wife, and all the others that do what we do. And there's always a sense of not only not being alone, but that you're more okay. You know what I mean? Like poor verbiage there, but that's, you know, that's what it means to me. So we need people big time.
Yeah, I brought like people that I used to know. It's really sad because they're still suffering like I was, and in the 11 months that I've been sober, they've progressed. So going back to my community where my mom is, I see people, I run into people, and I brought someone to a meeting last week, just like you're saying, right? Like people that I know from my past, I can't spend time with them because they're still active, but I can say, meet me for a coffee and I'll bring you to a meeting, right? So
I think eventually, you know, timing right now, that when people see the changes in other people, that makes a huge difference. They may not even say anything, they may be embarrassed, but yeah, I think you're right, you know. But often, you know, people who have suffered in similar ways, they don't want to spend too much time, you know, in that unhealthy atmosphere, if you will. So I think it's also important you get in, you get out, you get in, you get out, you get in, you get out, you know.
Yeah,
and more time with the ones who are working with you than the ones who are still in trouble, you know.
So. Yeah.
But anyway, that's all learned stuff over time. In terms of gatherings, you mentioned you went out to a, you know, a specific gathering, but what about your, like, just your 12-step meetings? Do you doing those every day, or how are you doing that?
No, I go to 3 or 4 meetings a week.
Okay.
I have my home group, and then I go to just a couple AA ones around the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I have like one program every day though, like something I do recovery focused every day. Maybe it's like something with the church instead of with the program.
Okay.
But always something.
So in the program you're in, you know, the treatment program, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, Harbor Light. It's like transitional housing.
Transitional. Okay, perfect. Yeah. Are you relegated to do certain things, or do you have to do something every day? Is that recommended? Is it pushed on you, or, you know, like?
Yeah, it's required. We have we have a contract that we start with our counselor at the beginning, and every 8 weeks we go back over that and see what else we have to do, right? It keeps us moving, keeps us busy. I probably do more than other people do, you know. I feel like I'm not doing enough, but they're like, Georgia, you have enough on your plate right now, right?
Yeah. That's a good topic too, you know, never feeling like we do enough, you know. It's like me, if I see someone working, even if I just finished 100 hours, it bothers me that he's working and doing something and I'm not, you know. I mean, that's the sort of thing that I had to get a handle on, and I think it was always really went back to that esteem thing, you know. Why on earth would I feel that I'm not good enough in any, you know, in any case, whether I'm sleeping, not working, sick, or working, you know. What does productivity mean to me in my mind? Does it mean that I'm just not capable? I wasn't made good enough, and then I'm challenging, you know, my creator and all these other things. So, you know, if I'm part of this perfect creation, then everything I do has to be sort of set in stone, not the stone that all of us see, at least not this side, but it was set in stone somewhere. And I accept that today, even, you know, hopefully, even if I were to end up inside with some of these fellas that we spend so much time with these days. I think what we need to do, I just noticed the time here, is take a quick break and come back and talk a little more about love and what it means to us and what we feel as individuals that we need to do to exercise that part of who we are and so on. So, with that, I think we'll just, what we should do? You want to pay some bills there?
I think it's time to pay some bills there, Scott.
Okay. Show me how to get out of here and we're gone.
Okay.